The choice of words was very good on the program. The topic, it says attainable goal. And I thought that word is excellent, because any of the goals that are set before us by our Lord are not unreasonable, they're attainable. And any of those that are begotten by God's Spirit, or that have the Lord's Spirit in their lives, are governed by a spirit of a sound mind, and also all the goals that they set forth under that direction are also attainable. So there's nothing unrealistic about it. Well, as you heard already, my little portion is knowing God better. It's a little bit difficult because the next one is knowing Jesus better, so we're going to try and separate the two as much as we can. How do we define knowing someone is really what we're going to get into. Can we say that we know each other? Our reply would be yes, to a limited degree. But our knowing each other varies by degrees, and I would say, how many of you really know me? Now, there are a few of you out there that do, because of circumstances and perhaps of our fellowship and by sharing, which we're going to get in a little bit more. I'm fishing for a word that kind of defines knowing one another closely, or knowing God better, and I think that word, when I was looking for it, I found it in this intimacy, or intimate. So, the more intimate we know each other, the better we know each other. And to prove that point, when we see each other here, now I'm out from the East Coast, many of you don't even know me in a sense of even conversation-wise, but you know me that our goals are the same. So already, a great percentage of the veneer is taken off, because we already know that we have both the same goals. And a brother or sister with a common goal is something that now we're 50% there, I should say. But we can even get a closer look at each other when we're at conventions, when we have the privilege to share our homes with one another. Now we see each other more closely, we feel more comfortably, and then we share with our friends the struggles of our life, the struggles of our spiritual life, that is, and the victories that we experience as new creatures, and then an intimacy starts to develop, and a closeness perhaps that we will never experience with any of us in completeness, because those are lasting. You know that if you had brethren over your home staying with you and sharing the same house, that intimacy now develops into something that we never forget on this side of the veil. Well, dear friends, the same is with God. How do we get to know Him better is the subject. We just mentioned one in particular, and that's sharing. And how can we be intimate with God? And we know that one of the ways and form is prayer. We need to be part of Him, or our lives have to be laid into His care, and He is also interested in also becoming part of our lives. Jesus made a profound statement and misunderstood by many. He said, as you see me, you see the Father. Not that Jesus was God, but that you and I could grasp even the characteristic that the Father Himself possesses. His character of love was manifested in His Son. And so were justice, wisdom, and power displayed in the action of His Son's character. We would like to separate the Father from the Son at this point, like I said before, and only deal with our Heavenly Father. His own way of identifying Himself is in the all-encompassing statement, which is awe-inspiring, I am that I am. That's what we know about Heavenly Father. He's omnipotent, the life-giver to anything that has life. And there's no doubt that He knows you and I very intimately. If He chooses, He knows everything about us, and we are His reckoned sons. Brother Paul Malley at the Portland Convention, any of you that attended that one, had a talk along that line, and as a matter of fact, pointing out the intimacy that the Father has with us, that even our hairs are numbered, if He so chooses. He knows our thoughts even before we can express them. So, dear friends, there's no doubt about Him knowing us, but that's not what we want to get into. We want to know how we can reciprocate. And there's only one way, brethren, to understand him and his ways. Now, what does this mean? Understand his great attributes. That's the only way that we can get to know our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Oh, yes, we know of the intellectual aspects of these attributes, love, wisdom, justice, and power, and we mention them often. That's an intellectual understanding. But to understand how they work in harmony reveals God's character to the fullest. Then comes another question. To what degree will he take us to understand these depths? Well, for a child of his that gives up his heart in full trust, full faith in God, will obviously be given understanding. And I'd like to read 1 Corinthians, which is a beautiful admonition. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 5 through 10. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And now comes the verse of importance here. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we understand God because he chooses to reveal his secrets in his character through the Holy Spirit. But now we're getting a little closer to our question. The search of inquiring, or the desire, as that scripture brought out, to know depends on us. We need to take the step in faith to give our hearts to him unreserved. Now let me give you a couple of small examples. Maybe they're helpful. The Apostle Paul, prior to his call, or to his conversion on the road to Damascus, before that happened, must have loved God, obvious, and thought God was all power and justice, and thought also that he was a wise God. But did he really understand God? He couldn't, because of his son Jesus. Jesus displayed the character which Paul could not understand or grasp. No, only after the Almighty revealed himself through that, through his son, did he understand God's purposes through his son. And perhaps Paul's understandings, we might say, was somewhat lopsided, because someday perhaps we'll talk to him ourselves, but perhaps he saw a more austere God, more justice than love. How about you and I? Can we relate to this in some way or form? You know, brethren, I can relate to this myself, and I'll just give you a small example. Prior to my consecration, I struggled with the thought of second death. Oh, I must have struggled for almost 2 years before giving my heart to the Lord. Not that I did not believe that it existed, but that God would look at me and wait for me to make a mistake and then judge. And my love for life was so grand and so great that I didn't want to take that chance that perhaps I would do something and fall into this area, the fear of extinction, which was very great with me. What is that? That's a misunderstanding of his loving character, and it's obvious that it was. But only later, when I found out that, yes, justice is the foundation of God's throne, but it's all founded on love, because the scripture identifies that God is love. He understands your frame and mind. He knows what we have need of, and he would never give us more in the way of experiences that could not bear. Only what is necessary to develop as new creatures in Christ, he will let come upon us. He's patient and forbearing, and he's kind and not forceful. He gave us, in creating us, a free will, and he lets us choose, as we know. So without his Spirit, we shall see him distorted. And that's a profound statement, brethren. Unless we're led by his Spirit, we will see him distorted, just as all our other Christian friends, to one degree or another. And now that we understand his plan, and we understand his son's mission, and we see ours in the invitation to be the son's heirs and joint heirs with him. Now, how can we even get closer to our great God, whose memory never fails, nor his judgments never err, whose eyes never sleep, and who is ever cognizant of all necessities, and who is always active in all interests of his broad domain? How can we get closer? Well, brethren, prayer. A lot is said about prayer, and we all agree in ourselves that our prayer life needs improving. Even those brethren that profess they have a great prayer life still admit that it could be better. So, what is it so difficult, or why is it so difficult, to reveal ourselves to our great God? God, as we illustrated, reveals himself to us, so what's our holdback? As we mentioned before, brethren, when we fully become intimate with him, our full honesty of ourselves is open. You know yourself that when you stepped into the area of matrimony, all the young people that are thinking about it, a relationship has to be built. You have to understand each other. You have to understand each other's ways. That's not any different with God and ourselves. I would like to share something with you also. One of the sisters, prior to me coming out here, knowing that I had this topic, she slipped me an article, and I read it, and I thought it was very apropos. She gave me an article to read in connections with this topic of getting to know God better. A fellow Christian trying to put on paper, writing down his experience of his prayer life, which I thought was very wonderfully put. And after summing up his definition of prayer, some years after learning to be himself, after learning that feeling or that feelings are good and is not a sin, or good feelings are not a sin, and that bad feelings are not a sin. This apparently was an individual that was guilt-ridden, and is not a sin, and that God still loved him. And he said, and I quote this little article, "Finally I began to see that prayer is not a series of requests to get God to help me do things I think need to be done. Prayer is a direction of life, a focusing of one's most personal and deepest attention Godward. The purpose is to love God and learn to know him so well that our wills and our actions will be more and more aligned with his. Even our unconscious reactions and purposes will have the mark of his love." And then he said something that struck me. Prayer was no longer an activity. And I thought, that's an odd statement to make, because sometimes in my own life, they seem to be activities. They're kind of set in line. And he said it was an on continuing basis of total association with himself and his Creator. "I have become the continuing language of that relationship God designed to fulfill in the human life. But about this time, I found that I simply could not live alone." And that's the key. So, dear friends, in summing up, you know that to me, I would say that my own study of this little topic, The importance is prayer. I think that's the only way. Now, we may say, or some may say, it's a one-way avenue, but it's not. Because the deeper our prayers and affections go towards Word, the better the revealments are of our intimacy with Him, because we see it in different ways of revealment. So I do not want to encroach on my brethren's time. So we ask thy blessing to be upon each other as we seek and search further to know our God more intimately.